In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Whether you're looking to elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments, Tecovas boots will do the trick. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and don't go gently, y'all. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. Today, plausibly live, it's the Zabecast.
No, we'll do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and DC Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Pollin.
See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go.
Much like Eddie Griswold said of the Fruitcake of the Month Club, it's the gift that keeps on giving, Clark. In all my years, Andy Pollin, I have never seen a sports radio gift that keeps on giving quite like Caitlin Clark and the Caitlin Clark phenomena. This Olympics thing is a wow. How you doing? On a Monday, my friend.
Oh, I'm doing great. Great weather weekend. Oh,
really was. It makes me, it reminds me why we live in the D.C. area.
No kvetching from this weekend.
No, not at all. It was pretty damn good. But you know what? It's going to be blazing hot Father's Day weekend. So just buckle down. I mean, look, this was the last gasp of great weather before the summer swelt. The summer schwitz sets in.
I know. We have some days, though. I mean, I know. Don't worry about it.
We have some days. So this Caitlin Clark being left off the Olympic team is just the biggest own goal in the history of sports, if you ask me. And now the scrambling by some people to rationalize it is even more embarrassing. It's like, just stop. Stop embarrassing yourself. Where do you come down on this whole thing?
Well, you know who broke the story, don't you?
I do, and I have to say, good for Christine Brennan. Oh, right? God. Oh, it nearly killed me to say that. But yes, Christine was at the forefront of some actual hard news, big J journalism reporting. And to my surprise and delight, she's on the correct side of this issue. I thought she might have fallen on the other side.
That's my point.
Yeah, which says, well, you know, she's not one of the 12 best players. Who are you going to take off the team? Go ahead. Just tell me. I'll wait, people are saying online.
And she also has covered the Olympics for like 40 years.
Yes.
She's invested a lot of her career into this. And so, you know, she might have said, well, you know, these women have worked so hard for this. And Right. Yeah, I mean, and NBC executives have to be losing their minds over this. I mean, this would have been one of their big events, women's basketball, and that goes down the tubes. My feeling is this. I don't know if any particular player said, if she's in, I'm out, but I think the
there
overall
had to be
field,
a couple.
Well, I don't think so, because there's no real, you know, Jordan here. If there isn't a player, if she doesn't play, ruins the team. I think the overall feel was, we don't want her. And if she's here, she's going to be a problem for us. And it's going to be an overall bad feel. This wasn't an Isaiah Thomas situation exactly, but it's got overtones of that. Like, we don't like her, we don't want her here.
For those that may have missed it or are under a rock, Christine Brennan reported that the sources that she talked to said that because Clark would get limited minutes in the Olympics, because we have such a loaded team, which has never lost the Olympics in women's basketball, correct?
As far as I know, I think they did.
Really?
Yes, in 80, I'm trying to think, might have been 84. No, 84 we won. In 80 we boycotted. I don't know. You may be right. There was a makeup, because
they last lost a game in 1992.
Okay.
A game, Andy, much less the gold. The last game they lost. So we are still miles and miles and miles and miles ahead of the rest of the world in women's basketball, even though the gap has been erased in men's basketball. So yes, so there's that aspect of it, that because she would get so little minutes on a loaded team that has never lost, that the fans would revolt, and they would say her fans is how Christine's source put it. Talk about jealousy. My fans, your fans. How about just fucking fans? How about just eyeballs that are going to come into the store of women's basketball and look around and browse and grab a trinket off the shelf and go, huh, this is interesting. I might watch more of this.
Yeah, if she turns out to be a mediocre player and the crowds go away, and the players who play now are partly responsible for that, you know, 10 years down the road, women's basketball is going to say, gee, I wish another Caitlin Clark would come along. This is your golden goose. Don't destroy it. She is bringing people into the tent that would not even get a glimpse.
I know.
I used to say about women's basketball, if it was being played in my backyard, I'd close the blinds.
I know.
And I watch that in almost the entire game the other night when they played Washington. Now, Washington stinks. They're the worst team in the league.
And yet they almost beat them.
Yeah, and she had 30 points.
Yeah.
And she looked good. Looked
30
like a good
points,
player.
30 points, 7 threes, and 20,000 people packed nose to tail, seats to the rafters, which is crazy. So back to whether or not she's going to be a good player. I think she's already proving that she's not going to suck in the pros, because she's already in a lot of key statistical categories, ranking right there or better than many rookies in her first X number of games. They're also running the wheels off her. She's played more games in the first 20 days than like some teams have played. You know?
You know why? You know why?
Because
on their part, they want to roll it out, get people
while
interested.
The iron is hot. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Mm. So there's that. But okay, here's the thing. If she turns out to be meh as a 1/1 in the WNBA, you still then justify putting her on the team because, hey, you know, she ain't going to last forever. Let's strike while the iron is hot, and then people can sample the product and go, you know what? I like the women's game. I like what they do, this, that, the other. And if she turned out to be great, then you don't have to live with the whole, yeah, remember when she was a rookie and you were jealous and you left her off the team? You fucking morons. Because that'll be a forever stain if she goes on to be a Hall of Famer. Yeah?
Right. And she's look at what her skill set is. It's shooting.
Right.
Shooters sometimes get limited minutes. That's their career. They come off the bench for 10 to 12 minutes and they shoot. And if you're behind, you want somebody like that on the floor. So, okay, so she might not start. So what? You think there's going to be people are going to storm down and burn down the arena? No.
You know, remember there was a team coached by a former colleague of ours who played in the Olympics for the U.S. 1988 in Seoul, and they lacked one specific thing that doomed that team, and it was shooting. Do you remember who was the guy that worked with us?
John Thompson.
Former basketball.
I don't think
he left Steph Curry off the team. Could have brought him.
No, Curry was like
'90s. Okay, no, he left some other shooter off the team that he could have had.
He had some guy. He did keep Dan Marley, who may have been the only white player on the team. And the unfortunate thing for Big John was at that point Marley wasn't a shooter. He developed into a shooter later on when he played in the NBA.
If I recall, he had one shooter, and that one shooter got hurt.
Hersey Hawkins.
Hawkins. Thank you very much. Villanova or St. Joe's?
Bradley.
Okay, yeah. He had one shooter. The shooter got hurt. The international game with the shorter three-point line was very heavily dependent on shooting. He formed that Olympic team in kind of the mold of what he had done at Georgetown, a rugged, physical, defensive, rebounding team. And they didn't have enough shooting, and they ended up losing, which was the start of, holy shit, the rest of the world is catching up. The point, though, Bonnie Bernstein, bless her heart, says, she's not one of the 12 best. It's about merit. No. Completely the opposite, Bonnie. The Olympics, when you are guaranteed to win by a mile, now flip over and become a pure exhibition. It's a display case of a competition, which means, of course, you put in your most attractive display piece in Caitlin Clark. It's the exact opposite because you're guaranteed to win. If it was tooth and nail, like, we're not sure we're going to be able to win the gold this time, then it's a much stronger argument to say, you know what, just pick the 12 best. That's not the case here.
The Dream Team in 92 selected Larry Bird. I mean, they could have won with Harry Bird, but the point is that they took him, and he had played 46 minutes that season with Boston because his back was so bad that he couldn't even sit on the bench.
He had to lie down on the floor on a towel.
Larry Bird was one of the greatest players who ever played, and they wanted him to be a part of that team. So that's might be a comp there, might be.
Now, some are saying, well, they even took Christian Laettner, and he was as useless as tits on a boar. As I recall it, they had to have one college player, and he was the one guy.
And he was one of the greatest players who ever played.
Right, but still.
He's top 10.
In the NBA or college?
College.
Okay, college. Yeah, he was a great college player. But they didn't treat it like, oh, God, Leitner's here. Now they might have made him go get their bags at the airport. But that Dream Team was purely a moment of, okay, what's going to look good on a poster? And nobody said, well, we can't have Bird on the team. He's only played 46 minutes. They're like, he needs to be on the fucking poster. We're tired of losing the Olympics. You know we've got pros that are not allowed to play when other countries play their pros. So guess what? Suck on this, world. Poster. Yeah. They wanted the poster, and they got the poster. That's what the women should have done. And yet, who's the head of the U.S. Olympic men's or Olympic women's team? Is there a women's head and a men's head? Is it just all USA basketball? Who's running the show? Who's running the show to show some leadership, Andy, to tell these jealous biatches, listen, she's coming. Deal with it.
Isn't Grant – I know Grant Hill's involved with the men's end of it.
Okay.
It seemed to me that he would say, ho, wait a minute here. You're not putting Caitlin Clark on the team? You've got to be kidding me.
Oh, God. It's just unbelievable. So this will echo throughout the coming weeks and months. And there's going to be people who will be rooting against Team USA out of spite because of it, which is a dirty thing to do. We should always root for our guys and our gals when they're wearing the flag, but sometimes it's going to be hard. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'd just be interested to see if they get to a game where they go, we could have used another shooter.
Oh, if they ever go cold shooting and end up getting upset somehow, people will laugh their fucking ass off over this one. So, all right, will this league, the WNBA, ever come to peace with Caitlin Clark, the superstar?
I think if she becomes a superstar, I think they will. I think they'll turn on that. Because remember, you know, Michael Jordan wasn't Michael Jordan until like 5 years into his career. And like, Yeah, look it up. There was a point. There was a point where he's talked about his supporting cast, and people said, "What supporting cast? This is a team game." And then, you know, he with his supporting cast won 6 championships.
Andy, I think I'm going to have to call a penalty on this one. So Jordan came into the league what year?
1984.
December 10, 1984, Sports Illustrated, a star is born.
True. True.
Month into his career, Andy. Come on now.
Understood, because he was the third pick. But you look 3 or 4 years in, and he was scoring a lot of points, and people said, oh, he's a ball hog. Can he ever win? Oh, you don't remember this stuff?
What do you mean he wasn't Michael Jordan till 4 or 5 years in?
Well, let's see. He won his first championship in 1991.
I'm not saying championships, Andy. I'm just saying, was he a supernova on the landscape? And I would say the SI cover of A Star is Born kind of does it. Now, when did he win the dunk contest?
Probably 85, 86, you know, early.
So that's
early
year two. That's year two, year three.
Right. So what I'm saying is, yes, he was a spectacular scorer, but so was Dominique Wilkins. And that's, I think, what he was being compared to until he started to win. And they wondered, oh, can a guy who shoots and scores as much as he does, can he win? Look it up. It wasn't year one, but it came along. And then, you know, he knocks off Magic Johnson and the Lakers, and the rest is history.
All right. Well, as Ron Burgundy would say, agree to disagree. And we'll move on. Did you see people roasting ESPN's halftime show for game one of the NBA Finals? This podcast today being recorded easy like Sunday morning, so you don't have the results of the Sunday night game two. But the halftime show, I think, Andy, featured no more than 1 minute and 40 seconds of on-air time.
That's
for 5 live bodies in expensive Italian suits flown in, put up at the Ritz-Carlton, per diem, all kinds of stuff just to be on air for 1:20 on site. Yeah. What does television do, for God's sakes?
Sell commercials, obviously.
I guess, but like, is there nobody overlooking the budget going, you know what? They're barely going to be on the air. We shouldn't waste the money to send them. Let's just have a 2-person studio halftime.
Well, I've watched some of it. I think Malika Andrews is really good.
I do too. She could be good from in studio.
Right.
I guess they think, we're in for a dime, in for a dollar. We paid so much for the rights to this thing. What's another couple, whatever it costs, to send them?
Well, also, I think that might be in the negotiations with the league, too. That
might you have be, to be on site.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to send our people there.
Treat it like a big deal. Big deal. Yeah, look, our people are here. Yeah, Stephen A. can wear his lavender suit and come.
Stephen A. is what do you want to be? Who are you? Are you a journalist or are you a rodeo?
I want to be who I am, rich and famous, Andy Pollin. Who are you? A nobody.
They have him strutting in this lavender suit, and they focus the camera on him. And then the next day on his shouting show, he's talking about 60-year-old women who are checking out his butt. I mean, what are you doing? You walk in like a runway model. What's your deal here?
I hate to point out, 60-year-old women are actually age appropriate for him at
he's
this point.
He's 50s, I think. I think he's mid-50s.
Yeah, like, that's age appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although
well, not in his mind.
By the way, does he have a girlfriend?
He's talked about his love life. I think he's got several children, but I don't know if he's ever been married.
Dawned on me that for as big of a quote celeb as he is, no paparazzi pictures of him and a woman out at dinner, him and a woman on a boat, him and a woman doing this or that or the other.
Yeah, that might be smart strategy on his part.
I'm not saying it's bad strategy. I'm just saying it's incredible discipline for him not to be that way. That's interesting. You would think he'd have someone on his arm.
I guess, unless he feels like he always needs to be the total
spotlight
all the time.
You know what? That's probably it, because if people start talking about, look at the hot girlfriend on Stephen A. Smith, they're not talking about him.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to, hold on. My wife is texting me or calling me right now. I'm on a podcast. Okay, honey, I'll get back to you in a second. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The Lambos at Texas. Tell me you've seen the viral video.
Yes.
Of Steve Sarkisian strutting in front of the parking lot leading into the Texas football facility with Lamborghinis lined up, which I presume will be given to the top recruits, or are they already owned by the top recruits?
They may already have their money. They may have borrowed against their future earnings. You know, you can't just show up on campus
borrowed
your freshman year with your family's old sedan.
Borrowed. Andy, in the nil era, they can give them a Lamborghini.
Can they give it to them before they get on
to
scholarship? I guess they can.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've
how
told
do you
this.
Feel about a world in which this is the case?
Well, it's above board. I've told you this story before. When I did
SMU
basketball, this was 1982, and we show up for our first road trip, and we're going to park our cars at Moody Coliseum, get on the bus to the airport, and do the road trip, come back, and get our cars. I pull up. I'm working. At this point, I've been working for like 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And I'm very pleased to have purchased a brand new Toyota Corolla. And I drive my Toyota Corolla and park it, and I'm surrounded by players. This is 1982, student athletes, BMWs, Mercedes-Benz, all of them. And, you know, this, of course, was SMU, the wild, wild west of college sports at that time, mostly for football, because you had the Pony Express there, Eric Dickerson driving onto campus in his gold Trans Am that was given to him by the Texas A&M boosters. But these are basketball players,
right?
And they had them too. And believe me, basketball was so far off the football landscape at that school. So, you know, it's not really anything new.
Yeah, but it's look, I Do with your nil money what you want to do with it. I'm not here to try to manage and say you put some away on a 401k for a retirement. But the flashiness and the gaudiness of it is enough to kind of turn a lot of stomachs. Because these guys in college, they may be hot prospects and or recruits. They haven't done shit yet.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting all this and they haven't done shit yet.
Well, but that's what the market has borne. But the other part of this is, owning these cars, it's not just the purchase price. Oh. It's everything else that goes along with it.
Insurance.
You know, Imus used to, when he did a show in WFAN, he used to complain that when they changed the oil in his Rolls Royce, it cost $300. And it was like, yeah, well, if you have enough money to own a Rolls Royce, you got to pay $300 to get an oil change. And so, you know, these guys who think, oh, I have, you know, this amount of NIL money, I'm going to buy a Lamborghini. Well, let's see what happens if you hurt your knee and you're out of school in 2 years and you have no NIL money coming in to support this lifestyle that you've now put yourself into. See how that goes. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of money problems, you love ice cream. I love ice cream. We all love ice cream. Andy's favorite flavor is vanilla, people.
With chocolate
chips. Nobody.
Vanilla with chocolate chips.
Okay, with chocolate chips. It's a solid fastball right on the outside corner.
Yep.
The price of ice cream, though, is causing a lot of people now to lose their minds. Mm-hmm. A New York Post article says Queens parents are having a meltdown over ice cream truck prices, which have soared to as much as $14 for a single waffle cone.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I went with my son to New York. I was in New York visiting him and his fiance last weekend, and, you know, saw an ice cream place, and he said, oh yeah, Nicole, his fiance, said it's really good. We go in, we each get a scoop. It's $17. And you know, it's New York. I'm there for fun and vacation and all that.
You're not there to save money, that's for sure.
Yeah, but it's crazy. So, yeah, I mean, I got an ice cream the other day at Dairy Queen, a small vanilla cone. You want to guess the price?
Dairy Queen small vanilla cone, $6.
No, but it was $4.50, I think.
For a small?
Yeah.
For a small of soft serve, which is the cheapest, should be the cheapest of your ice creams.
Mm.
Well, did you see the viral video of the British girl who went crazy complaining about the price of ice cream?
I did.
this is great. I don't
$14
know.
$14 for a cone, right?
Let's $9 for two ice creams. She must be only like 8 years old, and she is hilarious in how furious she is about
this. One that comes on my street is either £1 a pee or £2. Like, he's going to get nowhere with that.
No, he ain't, is
that? No, he ain't.
That's
no,
well bad, isn't
he
it?
He should know.
She's so cute. She looks like a little Emma
That's
Watson,
it.
Doesn't
That's
she?
That's it. Let him have it. For this young lady.
Has been watched.
So there you go. That's the news team talking over it.
You know, when I was a kid and on the mean streets of Chevy Chase, and we went to the community pool, which was a half a block away, I would go. And remember the bathing suits with the little pockets inside?
Oh, yeah. The little mesh pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would put two quarters in that mesh pocket. So that when the Good Humor Man came, I could give those two quarters to him and get my ice cream for the day. I know it was a different time and a different place, but you know, now you'd have to have a credit card to do something like that.
Speaking of summer things, 40 years ago over the weekend, 40 years ago Friday, Ghostbusters debuted.
Wow.
It had a $25 million budget.
That's all.
Care to guess what it made at the box office?
I'm going to say $250 million?
Andy, pretty close. $296 million. Yeah. Starring Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, who also produced it, I believe, and Sigourney Weaver, coming off of Aliens, in which she had been established as a star.
Right.
A new concept that was a sci-fi comedy that took the nation by storm and made a ton of money. How come Hollywood cannot do that kind of stuff anymore?
Well, because if it's a big movie, it stays in the theater for like a week, and then it's available on Netflix or any of these
streaming.
Other streaming.
Right. Yeah. They used to have multiple things. But just in terms of taking a chance on, okay, this is a weird concept, but I think audiences will love it.
And well, you had two big names from television. Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd were huge names in those days.
Yeah. Right. Well, but there was that, but it was funny as shit.
Like, it was.
It was one of those movies you go, oh, my God, you got to go see Ghostbusters. It's crazy. It's got a lot of cool sci-fi effects. It's kind of scary in certain ways, but it's also funny as hell. Bill Murray is amazing. And, yeah, you'll want to see it again. Remember the days of seeing a movie twice in theaters because it was that good?
It was that good. And 1984, not that many people, relatively speaking, had even VCRs.
Right.
So if you went, you wanted to see a movie, you went to see it in the theater. And if it, and even if it was like a dirty movie or a movie that, you know, was an R rating, if it was on TV, it was cleaned up so much you couldn't even tell what was going on. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's just so different now. I used to go to a lot of movies, as you know. I probably go to two or three a year now.
I know, because they're not putting out anything that's worth watching.
But
there's a lot of there's a lot of documentaries out now, sports documentaries. I think we're almost oversaturated with them. You know, the behind the scenes stuff, the Netflix stuff. It was at first you're like, oh, this is great access. We never get to see this. Now you're like, okay, I don't need to see that.
Well, there's that, but there's also some good stuff that gets buried in all of this. I saw, and I just texted him the other day to tell him how great it was, Jeremy Schapp's E60 on the 1994 Rangers that won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And they tied it in with this police officer who had been shot named Stephen McDonald, who was a huge Ranger fan, and he was paralyzed. It was 1986, and it followed him through the years as he was with the Rangers, and then finally he and his son, who was born after he was shot, got to sit ringside and see them win the cup. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes, and I don't think many people know about it because it's just tied into with all those E60 things that they do.
Yeah, so there's a lot of good short-form stuff out there as well, 10-minute, 15-minute shots.
Right.
So, yeah. Ask dumb questions, get dumb answers. How about this from Joe Mazzulla of the Celtics, head coach, to a reporter at the finals who thought he had this great angle for a story.
Hey, Joe, Ben Scoville, Yahoo Sports. For the first time since 1975, this is the NBA Finals where you have two black head coaches. Given the plight sometimes of black head coaches in the NBA, do you think this is a significant moment? Do you take pride in this? How do you view this, or do you not see it at all?
I wonder how many of those have been Christian coaches. David Aldridge?
Oh, man, the silence afterwards was crushing.
Right. Yeah, he could have gone the way that John Thompson did when he took Georgetown to the Final Four in 1982. And somebody said, you know, you're the first black coach to take a team to a Final Four. You must take great pride in that. He says, I'm mad as hell. He said, there were guys years before me who were much better coaches and good enough to take teams to the Final Four, but they didn't have the opportunity to do it.
Okay. But
he wasn't going to go there either.
All right. But if I may, what plight do black NBA coaches face at this point? The league is filled with black coaches. Of all different varieties, many of whom have not had very much experience at all before they were given a job.
Yeah, I think we've reached the point with NBA coaches where a job opens up, and well, they've never had to have anything like the Rooney Rule, obviously. I think we're at the point now where you want the best guy, and often when they look for the best guy, he happens to be black.
Yeah,
I mean Doc Rivers. You know, he continues to get jobs when he hasn't had a whole lot of success in the finals and playoffs and things like that.
So. He sounds good. He looks good. He's done it for a while. He's pretty good. He's won a championship. But, yeah, nobody is looking twice going, I don't know, we need to get a white guy. Hell, the guy that Mazzulla replaced, Ime Udoka, his plight was he couldn't stop fucking people in the office with the Celtics. Yeah.
Man, that was a problem.
That was a problem. Yes, it was.
75 finals, near and dear to my heart, watching my Bullets with Casey Jones get swept by Al Attles, Golden State Warriors. So,
All right. You know. Have you taken any time this week to savor Nicholas Week at the Memorial on CBS? Because we're not going to have Jack around for too many more years, I'm afraid. You know, he's getting up there, starting to slow down even further. You and I haven't met the great Mr. Nicholas. This guy, every time he comes on during this week at his tournament, I always stop to listen.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen an interview with him recently. Has he lost his fastball in any way? Or
no, still... not really. He's still that same pinched Ohio accent guy, you know.
Yeah, you know, we these guys, we try to make the course harder, but yeah, these guys are so good.
No, that was, as I've told you many times, our 20-minute to 25-minute interview with him, one of the highlights of my career, and I'm not even a golf guy.
Yeah, it was very cool, no doubt about it. Oh, and the Savannah Bananas sold out Fenway Park. This is a crazy thing that these guys and this whole concept of a goofball barnstorming team is, and I think they're sold out as they tour the country this summer everywhere they go. It's hard to get a ticket.
If you've seen any of the video, they're doing stuff that seems impossible to do in baseball, maybe even harder than some of the stuff the Globetrotters do for basketball.
Yeah, you remember the peak of the Globetrotters?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I remember going, asking my dad to take me. It was a doubleheader. Bullets playing the second game, Globetrotters in the first game against the Washington Generals.
I know. My dad took me, too, when I was a kid, and he had the Generals plus the points. He was really quiet and seemingly angry on the ride home. I don't know what that was all about.
With FanDuel, right? You met with FanDuel.
In 1978.
Exactly.
You know, if I was a certain former colleague of ours in sports radio, I might have made that argument, hoping nobody would check me on it. Oh, you're darn right I did. Really, Ken? You had wagering. How did you get the wager in? Oh, you had to call them. You had to call a number.
Francesa might go the same way today.
I know. Did Francesa pick the Belmont winner correctly? Since he's the big horse guy and he's up there in New York, he goes to the Belmont all the time. Jason Wirth, part owner, former national.
And he's only been involved for like 2 years. It's amazing.
The charmed life. Yeah. All right. Andy, as always, a pleasure, my friend. We'll see you next week.
All right, Dave. Take care.
Thanks. I'm easy like Sunday morning. I want to be. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.